Hello, welcome to the Pitcasts. My name is Iowa Hobb, and I will be hosting our episode of Research Conversations today. Today, I'm with
Emily Cancro.
And today, we're discussing The Rhetoric and Symbolism of All Too Well by Taylor Swift, the song and the short film. So, Emily, could you introduce yourself for us today?
Yes. Hi, my name is Emily Cancro. I'm a sophomore here at UNC. And the intended goal of my research was kind of to just take a topic that I'm very interested in and to kind of elaborate in the sense of analyzing the lyrics and the short film and how that overall it helps to increase Swift's fan engagement among her audience.
Great. So how did you come across this topic? Like, what were the circumstances? Was it for a class?
Yes. So this was, we were supposed to come up with a research topic in which we were to present at the Pitt Conference. So we were supposed to come up with a research topic in which we found a gap that had not previously been addressed. And our teacher kind of just gave us free range in what we wanted to do. And so ultimately I came to the decision that I wanted to analyze Taylor Swift because she's someone that I'm very interested in and can talk about for a very long time. And so I specifically looked into her All Too Well song and short film because the short film had recently been put out a couple years prior, and I noticed that just among the people, my friends, that this is a very prevalent.
Awesome, yeah. So I'm not personally a Swiftie. I have listened to All Too Well, the 5-minute version. I haven't listened to the 10-minute version and the short film, which are what your research topic focus on. So aside from extra length, extra content, could you summarize that song, what it's about, and also like what people get from the extra?
Yeah, so I think Swift's intention with putting out the extra, the 10-minute version versus the 5-minute version, was to kind of just continue that story that she was hoping to write with the original song. And the general theme that she's trying to relate throughout her song is to express her relationship in which she was with a partner that was 10 years older than her. And so there was different like consequences of that relationship that she came to notice. And I think just her trying to express this to her younger fan base is very like, can have her audience relate to her in that sense. And with the short film, it was kind of to just take that those lyrics a step further and to actually be able to put them into practice and actually give a visual representation of her fans to be able to watch this and kind of experience this firsthandedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Taylor Swift's fan base, also known as Swifties, are you a Swiftie? And like, what's your experience with the fan base? Like, what are their characteristics, how they move, and like just some more information on Taylor Swift's fans?
Yes, I am the ultimate Swiftie. I have been to 4 of her concerts. I recently attended the Eras Tour, which is just this big phenomenon that has been sold out over the country and now they're global. Mm-hmm. And I would say her fan base just, they're insane. Like, they're constantly invested in every single Instagram post, every social media post, every new song she releases. Basically, everything that goes on in her life, her fans are kind of there to analyze very deeply and kind of take it a step further. And she's very much known for dropping Easter eggs throughout songs within her social media posts that kind of sends her fans into a spiral and like decoding if she's trying to relate certain hidden messages on mm-hmm. future tracks and songs like that. Mm-hmm. So I think she's very good at what she does and kind of bringing that fan base and like strengthening their relationship and like bringing out a more local scale versus just mm-hmm. her as a celebrity and just having these fans. I think she's very much builds a connection between her and her fan base.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm a K-poppy, right? So yeah. Like, I know all about like being obsessed with your favorite artist and like trying to figure out what they're saying, like the hidden messages. I get it. With K-pop, there's like notorious like parasocial relationships. They're like way more extreme than Swifties, I will say. So, like, what are your thoughts on, like, the conversation about, like, parasocial relationships and, like, how does Taylor Swift, like, does this feed into it? Is it, like, a somewhat healthier way? Like, because, you know, All Too Well is, like, about her relationship in her life. Is it the relatability of that situation or is it, like, something a little...
Yeah, I definitely think throughout a majority of her songs, a lot of them predominantly have to do with like relationships, love, breakup. And the kind of target audience that she had when she first started her career was people somewhat of my age who are now in their almost 20s, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's very much allowed that her target audience that she started with to kind of grow up with her to where now she's obviously older. She's been through a couple of her relationships. And I think that her target audience is just kind of reaching that peak in their life to where the aspect of like relatability really comes into play with like breakups and love and such like that. So I think she really connects to her audience on that level. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely have very much related to a majority of her songs. Mm-hmm. And I think her audience is just really expressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And her audience, like, it's really big, isn't it? Like, it's basically everyone, you know?
Yeah, basically everyone these days. And now with her dating Travis Kelce, it's kind of brought in that aspect of her being publicized even more on TV now and kind of has brought in a different target audience to what she normally has, like, kind of had in prior.
Like, now people who are into football are into Taylor Swift, which is, I never thought I'd see the day, but it is.
Me neither.
It is here. And so, as you said, Taylor Swift is notorious for dropping Easter eggs that are intentional. So could you just give some examples and, like, how does this go into the question of fan engagement?
Yes. So a lot, from what I've seen recently, there has been certain outfits that she's worn at the Grammys in past years to where, like, certain color schemes or certain jewelry that she's worn have kind of, I guess, predicted the release of her new music, at least from fan standpoint. And also in certain music videos in the past, she's incorporated aspects that are a part of her new album to where fans are now just realizing, like, wow, like, she was just telling us right there that this is going to be, like, the new theme and new tracks of, like, her new music and stuff like that. Just things like that, especially throughout her social media with, like, her captions. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, like, emphasize or highlight certain words or bold certain letters or capitalize them in which they kind of, like, spell out certain hidden messages. And I think just kind of, like, the uncertainty of, like, her fans don't really know what she's doing. And so they kind of take that and just, like, delve really deep into it and cause just even more, like, conversation to be generated, even though she probably is just producing these Easter eggs to kind of knowing that she's going to send them into a spiral. So it kind of just keeps the conversation always alive. And she's always putting out new things that her fans are very much engaged in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She recently announced an album.
Yeah,
right?
The Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Were
that
there
was
Easter
at the Grammys.
Eggs like that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she went up to go receive her award and she announced that she was dropping that album. And the next day, or that night, I think she posted on social media, like, all the tracks. And there's a track with Post Malone. I'm pretty sure there's one with Lana Del Rey. And so that kind of just was, like, especially I feel like just because it was so random, like, nobody was really, or everyone was kind of expecting her to drop Reputation Taylor's version. And so when they heard that there was a brand new album, like, everyone was just shocked. And that kind of just, like, broke social media and the internet, I guess.
Right. I also remember that she announced an album, like, while she was on tour. And I think people, like, during the tour, weren't people, like, looking at, like, her shirts or something?
Oh, 1989 Taylor's version. Yes. She was on her U.S. leg of the tour, and I think she was in Nashville. And she announced 1989 Taylor's version. And that was, like, during, obviously, her tour. So she had that audience that was already there. And that also, just, like, with her releasing new music, it kind of just breaks the internet time and time and time again, and her audience just goes crazy for all that. So
yeah, the guessing game. Have you ever, like, been a part of the guessing game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely very much invested in when she's gonna re-drop her re-recorded, like, albums that she hasn't dropped yet, and just, like, especially with All Too Well, kind of decoding, like, certain messages and, like, certain objects that she's put in the film, like, what that might mean and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay, great. So moving on to All Too Well, I want to talk about the lyrics first. So could you share what you found in your research about her use of literary rhetoric?
Yes. So she is very symbolic in her writing, and that is very apparent not just through this song, but through all the albums and songs that she's recorded. And in this case, for All Too Well, the one thing that stood out to me the most is her mentioning the red scarf. And the red scarf is very much, like, symbolic of her girlhood and like her innocence as a child, and she kind of always comes back to that throughout the song, and everything else just kind of supports that fact of how she was so young during this relationship and how she's with a partner that was older than her. So like I'd say the red scarf is definitely the most notorious symbol throughout this music video, and I think it's cool how she kind of incorporates it throughout the short film as well to kind of give that like direct display of the theme that she's trying to relate to her audience.
Okay, yeah. And the red scarf, like in the short film, like how often does it come up? Like,
yeah, so it comes out up a good amount of times. It first starts, I think it was about like 52 seconds into the film when Sadie Sink, who portrays the young girl that is supposed to be looked upon as like Taylor Swift, walks into her partner's house and she's shown wearing the red scarf. And there's lyrics that accompany that say like, I left your scarf at your sister's house and you still have got it even now. And like following this, like fans kind of like took that as like the red scarf was something that her partner took from her, which is representative of like her girlhood. And then later on in the later on in the song, she says, but you kept my old scarf from the very first week. It reminds you of innocence and it smells like me and you can't get rid of it. So basically just kind of saying how like what's stolen from her, like he's taken for her forever, and that she's unable to like regain kind of what she lost as a young girl.
And him like keeping the red scarf is like him just...
Him keeping the red scarf is kind of just like the way of showing that like he took her like innocence, her girlhood away from her due to him being kind of older throughout the relationship, and that she can't get it back because what's been taken is already gone from her. So
okay, great.
Yes.
Yeah. So you mentioned Sadie Sink, who is supposed to portray like a Taylor Swift like figure, and there's also Dylan O'Brien, who portrays the older man. And in your paper, you discussed the age gap between Sink and O'Brien, and how it mirrors the age gap between Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal. So could you just discuss that further?
Yes. So obviously, Sadie Sink and Dylan O'Brien, they are 10 years apart in real life, and Taylor Swift and her partner were among the same age gap. So I think kind of seeing how Dylan O'Brien is more mature and then bringing in Sadie Sink, who's a younger actress, it kind of is very much representative of Swift and her partner's relationship at the time. And I think that the choice is very strategic in who she chose to portray herself. And yeah, just throughout the film, she kind of takes Sadie Sink coming in the beginning as this young girl. And throughout the film, she kind of develops to try to change herself, to try to make her seem more mature and more older, to kind of suit her partner's like sense that he's so much older than her, his friends are so much older than her. And so she kind of changes herself throughout the film to try to fit in with him and his friends. And I think that's very much... portray like of how Taylor Swift kind of felt throughout the relationship and the message that she's trying to relate throughout this song in the short film. So yeah, I think that is definitely very strategic in the sense of who they chose to portray Taylor Swift and her partner at the time.
Yeah, another intentional aspect that you discussed was the structure of the film, specifically the chapters. I think that's really interesting. Could you just describe the chapter structure and how it like helps convey the message that Swift is trying to convey?
Yes. So her film is split into different amounts of chapters. And the beginning chapter kind of represents the start of their relationship and how they were very happy. And moving from chapter to chapter, it kind of just takes the overall tone and from the beginning and kind of like diminishes it to where the end, it's kind of just like reaches her heartbreak and all that she's been through in this relationship. And so I think it's very interesting that Swift chose to split it up, and I think it's very strategic because it kind of breaks it up into a sense that people in the audience are able to relate to. They're able to relate to these different stages of a relationship where first they begin in like the happy stage and then they face some like hiccups and stuff like that, kind of go through some troubles, and then ultimately the ending of the relationship. So I think that was very interesting in how she structured it.
Okay, speaking of the relationship, you also discuss lighting and how that characterizes the relationship alongside the chapters. Could you talk some more about that?
Yes. And so during the one scene where Sync and O'Brien are shown dancing in the kitchen. The light on O'Brien's side is mainly lit up with cold blue tones, whereas Sadie Sink's side is lit up with more warm yellow and orange tones. And I think the lighting is very much a factor to show, like, the traits associated with either of the two. Like, O'Brien obviously lit up with cold bluer tones shows, like, the, like, cold nature and just, like, how he was more just, like, hard to, like, face, but in that sense. And then Sadie Sink, obviously her warm toned lighting shows how she was more like innocent and soft spoken throughout the relationship. So I think they're very much contrastive of one another. Mm-hmm. And the like these differences like with the lighting kind of helped to show that, and how Swift was hoping her audience would kind of see like the internal characteristics of O'Brien versus Sink and how that relates to her relationship outside. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just to clarify, you're saying that, like, the lighting is supposed to just, like, implicitly put the two actors at odds
and yes.
send that message.
Okay. Yes, I think that was her intended goal, was to kind of not explicitly say it, mm-hmm. but kind of use lighting as a source to be able to kind of, like, see how contrasted their personalities were in the relationship. And I think she did a good job of that, for mm-hmm. sure.
And there's a lot of these, like, implicit... Yes. assumptions that she's doing with, like, the choices that she makes, the age gap between the actors, mm-hmm. The lighting, the red scarf, and, like, that being, like, O'Brien's actor, just keeping that with him.
Yeah. I would say, like, that's definitely the one thing that I've probably taken away from this the most, is how intentional she is with just about everything she does mm-hmm. Throughout her career, with her social media post, her tour, like all the time that went into that, and obviously her songs and short films with like certain details and objects that were placed into the music video, or that kind of a representative of like implicit thing, like themes that she's trying to relate, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And especially with her lyrics, she's very intentional in kind of writing mm-hmm. that to relate to the target audience that she knows she has. So I think mm. she does a very good job at all that. And at the end of the day, all that kind of very much increases fan engagement and has her fans very mm-hmm. like engaged in what she's trying to relate.
Yeah. And like Taylor Swift is known like for her lyrics being like so deeply personal
yeah.
about her life. Yeah. And I guess like the question is like, aside from the relatability and being so personal, like what about like her writing, like from just like a scholarly standpoint, makes it stand out?
I think from a scholarly standpoint, some people have described her, instead of a singer, they kind of call her like a poet and more of a writer in that sense, mm-hmm. just because her lyrics are so, they have so much symbolic meaning upon them and like themes in that kind of sense. But I think that's very important to kind of, that puts her apart from other singers, because a lot of singers, although she does have a bunch of catchy songs that are kind of just like to jam out to, I think a lot of them are very deep. And that is different because not every singer has the ability to write their own songs mm-hmm. and to this extent to where people are very much invested in them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely what sets her apart, is just the talent that she has mm-hmm. in comparison to other singers and songwriters who might not write their own music. Mm-hmm. So that's very admirable about her. And I think that's kind of what generates a sense of appreciation from her fan base and just from honestly mm-hmm. the entire world. I would claim that regardless of whether you like Taylor Swift or not, you can't really deny that she is a very good songwriter, mm-hmm. whether you like her singing or not. I just think that's something that a lot of us can agree on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I'm not really a Swiftie, but I've definitely had, like, I call it the unpopular opinion that Taylor Swift is, like, a much better writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
She's very, very good with what she does yes. with her lyrics. Yeah. And then another question, just to tie all of this together, the fan engagement, like, is it because of Swift, or is it because like marketing and just like social media in general has changed the way that fans interact with celebrities?
Yes, I would say it's definitely a good mix of the two. I think Coming back to the intentionality aspect of that, I think that definitely has a good amount to play in how her fans are always engaged in that. But from a marketing standpoint, her marketing team does an excellent job of her social media, her Twitter, her publicizing the tour in general, publicizing her new albums, throughout stores, throughout basically everywhere. So I definitely think it's a good combination, and she's definitely under a good majority of it. So I want to give her credit in that sense, that I feel like she definitely thinks about these things. That's been quite apparent through like her design of her tour, the sets, costumes, stuff like that. So I think she's definitely very intentional, and I think her marketing team kind of takes that and takes that a step further. And so I think there's like a good combination between the two that kind of really ultimately lead to how effective she is in gaining this fan base and to continuing to provide for them.
Definitely, marketing does play into it, and social media. And you said that Taylor Swift is set apart from her writing, which I definitely agree with. But fan engagement is like sort of the crux of your argument. So I do want to like stay on that just a little more, because like Beyonce has crazy fans. Nicki Minaj has crazy fans.
Yes.
Like K-pop fans are a new level of crazy. Like just this question of fan engagement, like what is so, like why specifically Taylor Swift, aside from like the fact that like her music is relatable and easy to enjoy?
Yeah, personally, I would say kind of what has sparked my dedication to her and her fan base has kind of been the fact that I mentioned earlier that when she first started releasing music, I was obviously younger, and that's when I first started to take a liking in her, and how she's kind of never given up on her fan base, and they've kind of grown up with her, I think is something very important that especially people my age kind of appreciate in that sense. So that's where I could see that maybe younger target audiences or older target audiences might not be invested, but I think the prime area is probably girls ages 15 to 30 who kind of have experienced different parts of her uprising and stuff like that. And I would say that's definitely very similar in cases with like Beyonce and these other famous celebrities, that they are also very effective in kind of this fan. And I think just as a whole, our age group of people has just seen a lot of these new like found, or not newfound celebrities, but celebrities that have been here kind of grow and grow throughout their careers. And I think that that's very important, that especially that they haven't given up, that we kind of haven't given up in that sense. So yeah, I think that's just very much like how her fans still remain dedicated to her and kind of what sets her apart maybe from some new artists or whatnot.
Yeah, and by haven't given up, do you mean like that Taylor Swift like still puts out music like basically every single year?
Yeah, I would say so. There was definitely a patch throughout her career to where kind of the Reputation album sparked from, to where she kind of just went into hiding, and like there was all this controversy and stuff like that, and she kind of just didn't release music. She kind of just kept to herself in that kind of sense. And so I'd say the fans not giving up like through that stage, and just certain stages where she was fighting with her past record label to regain the rights to her music, to which is kind of the problem, or well, she's addressed the problem now by re-recording her albums, that she had to go through with that. And I think just her want and need to keep producing music. She said something, I think in the Grammys, she was like, I never want to stop writing music. Like, I want to just keep going and keep going and keep going. And I think that's really important for her fans to hear, to kind of keep that dedication and have them keep following her in her career.
So just to clarify, there's like something about like her dedication to making music, and also like that lull after Reputation. I'm just a little like confused, like not give up, like they haven't, like they decided to like keep being fans, because I don't know, I guess like most people are like not that invested is what I'm saying. Are you saying that like during that lull, like people were still super invested?
I would say there's definitely a group that was, and there's probably definitely a group that wasn't. So I think it's very just, it kind of just depends. But especially through that kind of reputation era of her, to where she was facing a lot of controversy and all that, there definitely was a group of people that kind of probably took a step back and mm-hmm. were like, okay, like, that's what's going on. There's no new music being released. Like, mm-hmm. what should I give? But then I feel like there was also a good amount of people that kind of were supporting her through this mm-hmm. Part of her life. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of what I mean by don't give up, or like that mm-hmm. they haven't given up, is they kind of haven't like stopped reciprocating like the kind of mm-hmm. effort that she puts into her fans and reciprocating that back to her, and like, or all like, I guess the support, you could say, mm-hmm. in that kind of way. So yeah, that's how I would describe it.
Yeah. Okay. And I was sort of thinking this while you were speaking, like, is it a question of like people stepping back or like still being super invested, or is it like a question of like, is Swift just really good at revitalizing that energy?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question. I would say just with how frequent and how present she is within today's society with her tour and stuff like that, it's kind of hard for fans to not think about Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's just so prevalent with everything she does now with the NFL. Like, mm-hmm. she's obviously reached that target audience. And, yeah, so I think that's kind of contributing to how, like, her presence is seen throughout society today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, the Easter eggs and all these, like, intentional, like, choices that she makes also help with that.
Yes, I would agree. Because personally, from my experience, I can say that I've definitely been invested mm-hmm. in certain little Easter eggs that she's dropped, or mm-hmm. Clues that she's dropped throughout her songs, social medias, and music videos that kind of cause me to just keep thinking about her and, like, just keep mm-hmm. thinking about it. So I think that definitely plays a role in kind of keeping fans engaged. Maybe, like, when she's not, like, currently releasing music, it kind of just still keeps them always engaged in some mm-hmm. sense, whether that's on, like, small or from a big scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, those are basically all the questions I have for you. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your article?
I would say I just had a lot of fun writing it and just taking a topic that I'm very interested in. Obviously, I've been very expressive about my love of Taylor Swift throughout this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a lot of fun just to kind of, like, delve into her music and her short film, because she doesn't normally release short films for a lot of her things. She has mm-hmm. music videos, but this kind of was more like telling of a story that mm-hmm. she was trying to relate mm-hmm. to her audience. So I think that was very fun to kind of look into and just really decode certain parts of videos that I guess people probably wouldn't really think about too deeply when they're just watching it. So just to kind of provide that information to people and kind of strengthen her intentionality and just kind of express how like mm-hmm. appreciative of like her intentionality that her fan base is of like how much work and dedication that she puts into her work. I think that's very important. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she did write and direct it. So like, yes, those are definitely like her choices.
Yes. Yeah. I think the work she puts in is very much like shown through how much success that she's had throughout her career with just the Grammys and mm-hmm. how many awards she's won and how her